Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean.
Hey, welcome to Tri-State Viewpoint, where the Tri-State comes to talk 5 days a week, even on rainy days. And traffic-congested Huntington, Gene, we have one of your favorite people in the studio. Let's get with it.
He got here early. I wasn't going to tell on you, but
I'm
since
not
you
one
mentioned
of your favorites,
it.
Bobby. Just Gene.
Yeah, well, you know, we go way back, too. I'm sorry. She has guests, and I have guests. And
I understand.
We love you, Dave.
I know.
All right, Bobby, you got us going. And as you can discern, listeners, our guest today is Dave Payton. It's always good to have Dave here in the studio. Thanks for coming in on this very wet and rather cold afternoon.
I'm very happy to be here, or anywhere.
Well, that's good. I know what you mean. I remember getting in a cab once, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and I mentioned to the cab driver what a beautiful day it was, and he said, any day that I'm not 6 feet under, it's
that's
a good
right.
day.
Exactly.
Well, Dave, we've had this visit from you set up for some time, and I didn't feel there was any need to email you as to what we might talk about, because I think it's obvious to everyone that we're going to talk about the fact that we have been saved from going over the fiscal cliff, the debt ceilings raised.
And I hope that America talks about this for months to come, especially up until the next election.
I totally agree with you. And as a matter of fact, Dave and Bobby, Congressman Rahal's office, I got them to send me a whole listing of how everyone voted in both the Senate and the House. And I'm happy to say that everyone that represents West Virginia, whether it's Shelley Moore Capito, Dr. McKinley, Nick Rahal, or Joe Manchin, or Senator Rockefeller, they all voted for it,
of course.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah,
even though I understand the Republicans had voted against it right up until the last
right,
vote.
Right. Finally, common sense prevailed. But in the House, there were 285 Democrats who voted for the, but there were 87 Republicans who voted for it.
87.
Voted for it. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But 144 Republicans voted against it.
Well, every Democrat that voted for it. But the thing that stands out to me is 136 Republicans, or maybe it's 40, voted really to go over the cliff, to
yes.
have a default. I mean, that is scary to have that. Only 84 or 85 voted for it, which is good. But
some of those Republicans, probably a significant number of those 144, live in districts where they're going to get reelected.
Yes.
They live in districts that have been gerrymandered so badly that they have gerrymandered them to allow extreme right-wing crazies to control those districts.
Yeah.
So they don't have anything to worry about.
Right. I just
same
hope that people don't forget.
Same way on the Senate side, Senator Cruz probably is not going to lose. As a matter of fact, I think we know now why Senator Cruz led this charge. Did you know that during this time that he's been screaming on the Capitol steps that his war chest has increased by $750,000.
Oh, my goodness.
People have given him, the crazies out there, who are some of them are very rich, have given him $750,000 from the time he started this until yesterday.
That's amazing. In fact,
I think it was Joe
who mentioned yesterday that the hometown newspaper that had endorsed Cruz and now has retracted that.
The Houston Chronicle, I understand, did. They retracted it.
Well,
but that won't make any difference.
Interesting thing is that actually his popularity among the Tea Party has gone from 68% to 74% of his stand, because they say he had the guts to stand up to everybody, whereas his national image is about 23%.
That's right. That's right.
But now even Boehner is beginning to look like a bit of a hero, isn't he?
I'm afraid he is. And I don't know what his district looks like, but I suspect he's got a lot of right-wingers in his...
He's in Cincinnati, his area.
Yeah.
Boehner,
yeah.
And that's a... That's kind of a mixed bag. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody can launch a campaign against him or not. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, surprisingly, the Tea Party crowd in the Congress were the ones who were upset with him. Now they're praising him because he caved in to him and allowed him to go right up to the 11.5
hour. I remember a week or so ago he said, this is not a game. This is not a damn game. I remember him saying that. Well, last night he said, We lost.
He said, we fought the fight, but we didn't win.
He admitted it was a game and he lost.
That is not as bad as Ted Cruz saying we lost too, but the American people just didn't know what was going on. It's American people that they just don't understand that you need to follow me. You
know? So many people out there, so many Americans lost in this whole thing. It's unbelievable. Let me give you an example of me. I mean, it's a small example, but it will give you some idea. I have my investments, my retirement investments in programs that allow me to invest in stock market related things.
Okay.
Stocks and bonds and those kind of things. And I have it divvied up between about 10 different things, you know.
Yeah, different funds.
Different funds. And it's been doing well for the last year. It's been doing I probably gained 12-14%.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw this coming down, there was a big drop last week. One time it dropped like more than 100 points, 200 mm-hmm. points. And I thought, you know, I'm in retirement. I don't want to lose any more of this. So I had the opportunity to get online and say, okay, take all of these out of these funds and put it into money market. And I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the next day it was in the money market. The day after that, there was a glint that maybe this thing was going to be solved, and the market increased 500 points.
Whoa.
And there I am in the money market. But I said, okay, no more of this. I'm not going to get back in. I'm going to sit there in the money market until this thing is solved.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, last night I got online at 12:01 or 12:02 after the president signed it. And got back in the market.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. But I estimate that I probably lost, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a big deal. But it just shows you how this problem just seeped into all of the American culture.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona, there's near the Grand Canyon, there is a little town where everybody works for the Grand Canyon. They're not... works at Grand Canyon establishments.
Mm.
They are not public employees, but they work at food service and stuff like that. They had to be, you know, there was nothing at the Grand Canyon, so
it was closed completely.
These people had no jobs. They had to ship food into these people. That's how bad it got.
Oh, my.
Mm. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it's just little things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these
yeah.
people are going to remember, I think.
I hope.
Well,
I hope.
Sometimes these things that are burning hot now, you get into next year in election year, sometimes they
yeah,
get...
Yeah, Bobby, that's the problem. I think.
Let me just mention, this hit everybody, you're right, but they predicted that this thing, the 16-day shutdown and this whole thing, has cost the American economy $24 billion.
That's correct.
And that's not to account all around the world, because it really created a major, major problem for world markets. And had we gone over the cliff, we could have had a world depression.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just...
You're right about this. I'm afraid, like I say, we need to keep talking about this at least through November next year, because if we quit talking about it, people are going to forget what happened.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to forget.
No, and Bobby and I are not going to
forget. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go out there, you know, and vote against somebody who caused this or did it. You know, I mean, Ray Hall is not to blame. Neither of our congressmen are to blame. I mean, our senators are to blame.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think long and hard about Shelley Moore Capito. I don't think I want a crazy Republican in there. Even she's not crazy.
No,
she's changed a lot since she was first elected to office.
You know what's interesting, though, the deadlines now that they've set again, kick the can down the road of January 15th and
just
for
3 months away.
And for February and the debt. That gets in almost to the primary season.
It does.
And I don't think that the Republicans want to go through this again, because they have been badly. So this budget talk that is mandated in the bill, they have to come back, I think, by December 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Patty Murray, who's head of the, we talked about it, he's head of the Senate, and you got Paul Ryan, who was the vice president, and he's a big go after the entitlements thing. They were supposed to come back with a blueprint in December, and it isn't going to happen. But
see, that's still 2 months away. It's like wasting 2 months, as far as I'm concerned.
But they're not going. They're not going to shut the government down again, and they're not going to let this debt limit thing go as far as the Republicans are the next time. They know, in their heart of hearts, that they are on danger. Yeah. They're on the edge of the cliff now.
Well, 74% of the American people blame them, so they ought to. They ought to get the message. It seems
a significant number of people blame the president. And a significant number of people blame the Democrats, but a much larger significant number blame the Republicans.
Actually, I think the president came out of this looking very well. I've been watching some TV news shows, and there's a lot of praise for him because he held his ground.
I'll tell you why he's getting praised. He caved in 2 years ago on the sequester thing, and they set the budget, and people thought that he's quick to try to find common ground or give in or compromise. And this is what concerned Harry Reid, especially going in. But you're right, the president held firm, and he has come out of this.
I think last I heard, his approval rating was only 39%, but I suspect the next poll was taken. It will probably jump
it'll
up to 50%
up.
Or more. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I saw a number higher than that, but it fluctuated almost day to day depending on the...
That's right. Let's take a break here. This is Tri-State Viewpoint. Bobby Nelson, Gene Dean, and our guest Dave Payton. Give us a couple of minutes for some commercials, and then we'll be back with you on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. And don't forget, we'd love for you to join in our conversation at 304-399-8255 or toll-free 1-877-420-8255.
This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Dave Payton, Gene Dean, and Bobby Nelson. You'd like to give us a call? We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 304-399-8255 or 877-420-8255. The president made a statement today, Gene and Dave. He said, let's be clear, there are no winners here in what has just happened. These last few weeks have inflicted completely unnecessary damage on our economy. And he went on to say, probably nothing has done more damage to America's credibility in the world or standing with other countries than the spectacle that we have seen these past several weeks. It's encouraged our enemies, it's emboldened our competitors, and depressed our friends who look to us for steady leadership.
And he's exactly right.
Well, and that's it. You know, the rest of the world, I was listening this morning to some pundits on the CNN, and these pundits were saying, the rest of the world looks to us for stability. And, you know, when this happened, they didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And basically what he said was, if we had gone over the cliff, they would have gone over the cliff, too, simply because we went over the cliff.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They look to us for things that they don't have. Yeah. And these kind of things don't happen. This kind of thing doesn't happen in America.
Yeah.
When it does or gets this close to it, people begin thinking, wondering what's going on. Huh. The Chinese have just been berating us, saying, it's time to de-Americanize the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the Chinese news agency over there and their editorials basically said, get it together. Because, you know, they had a lot to lose.
Oh, sure they did. They held a lot of our notes.
Right. You know, and if we had gone under and they didn't, you know, they couldn't, they couldn't collect on the bonds that they owed. Mm-hmm. They would have been most upset.
You spoke earlier about out there the subsidiary to the little private shops and restaurants and that because the park was closed out there, that they lost a whole lot of money. And I'm wondering, I know that sometimes people hear this is going on in Washington and they don't pay a whole lot of attention to it because it's not affecting them. It's not affecting you,
this
me.
This time it affected so many people.
Yeah.
In so many ways that, I think maybe they're going to remember. They're going to remember.
Well, I hope so. I'd love to hear from listeners who maybe have been affected or who know someone who's been affected by this shutdown.
I had a friend who lives out in the far west, northwest. She's she works for the Bureau of Land Management, and she's a geologist and has a very good job and very degree.
Sure.
Very good degree. Unfortunately, She was out of job, and she had it was terrible for her because she had to apply for unemployment. A geologist,
with
I think she has a master's degree, maybe a PhD. She had to apply for, she got her first unemployment check day before yesterday. Now she's probably going to have to pay that back, but at least she got the money so they wouldn't cut her electricity off. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a sad situation.
Right. I didn't come down 8th Street today. Did you happen to come that way? I wanted to see if there was anything going on at the Corps of Engineers building.
No, I didn't come on 8th Street, but apparently all the federal employees now have been notified to report back, and 23,000 in West Virginia. I don't know how many here in Huntington, several hundred at the Social Security.
400 or 500,
And think about the spending. These people put money into the economy. It affects everything.
Yes, it affects everything.
And tax collection for the city and for the state. I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's the big companies and all, but like Dave and you mentioned, everybody's affected by this, and I hope they remember, because this should never have happened. When the good faith and credit of the United States of America is put almost over the hill, that's a scary thought.
What on earth were these crazy people thinking? Did they think that they were come up the next election, they were somehow going to blame this on?
But
they were going to blame
parties.
It on the Democrats or blame it on the president.
But aren't they the ones that are all in these gerrymandered safe districts?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to worry. They don't care.
If I were the moderate Republicans, I would go tell these people, you better shut up. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz, I wouldn't. If I were a moderate Republican over there, I wouldn't even say hello to him anymore. He doesn't deserve it.
That's not Ted Cruz. That's Speaker Cruz.
Huh? Right, Senator Speaker Cruz.
Seems to be running for president.
He was running the whole shebang over there.
That people think, well, this storm kind of just came up all of a sudden. This was a planned effort started last June by people like Cruz, who put together this plan. Well, Obamacare is picking up support. In fact, 58% of Americans support it. But we have to defeat it in its tracks first. We got to defund it. That didn't work. But this was a calculated effort. And it really kind of backfired on him. But Cruz, as you've indicated, he wants to be president. He now has emerged as a leader of the Tea Party. He's just supplanted Rand Paul, who incidentally voted against this.
If he ever became president, I think I'd go back to England.
Well, he's not going to win. And somebody needs to sit down and give him a little lesson in how things are supposed to work. If you want to get rid of a law in Washington, you get control of both houses in an election, and then you get control of the presidency, and you all get together and you get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's simple. In 2016, he can get rid of it if he can get a Republican president and a Republican House and a Republican Senate. But but that's the way it works in this country.
But see, the next presidential election is 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. Will people have forgotten what the Republicans in general have done?
I think that Mrs. Clinton will overwhelm everybody. I mean, it doesn't make any difference.
But you know something? The key, though, is the midterm elections of 2000 coming
next year.
Up next year, because that will determine every member of the U.S. House will be up.
Right.
435 and about a third of the Senate. The Senate picked up reaffirmed an additional seat, not additional seat, but they held on to the New Jersey seat because Newark Mary.
Uh-huh.
But it will be, again, the midterms, and that's a short thing. People will get into this. But it is just the process in the Congress and a lot of people. Ted Cruz is a freshman. He's just only been there a little over a year. You know, he's filling out the expired term.
I had forgotten that. Yeah.
And he isn't familiar. And Dave knows. He covers it. There is a process that is set in stone in each of the bodies that you follow in enacting legislation, absent a majority in both houses. You've got to learn. And he just ignored that. He ignored the conference. He just said, and he got up on the floor and made this big 20-hour.
But they let him get away.
Bobby, have you ever heard?
Well, he can do that, but under the rules. But he couldn't do what. Now, he could have, Dave and Gene, he could have torpedoed this thing in the water yesterday when it came up in the Senate. And every senator has this right to get up and speak to an issue, and he could have gotten on the floor and stayed there.
He could have.
But he did say when they came out of the conference before the Senate vote yesterday, he would not block it. He did speak against it and say anything, but they set a time, and then they were able to move on.
That's why I think he wants to. He probably would like to run for president. If he had torpedoed it yesterday, he would, you know, he would
have been gone.
He would have been gone as far as president goes. He still has a. He's. I think he still would like to run.
We would have furloughed him out to Mingo.
And I wish. I hope he does run for president. I hope he does.
You might fit in quite well.
We would have furloughed him out to Mingo.
Yes. Yeah. That's.
Do you remember when he was speaking to this group? He said after this meeting, he was speaking to this summit conference on conservatives, and he said, "I have to leave here and go down when the president met with the Republicans." And he said, "If I don't come back, please somebody send a get out of jail card." I mean, this guy is out. He's way out there in right field.
Well, all of these super right wingers, they live in a fantasy world, Bobby. They don't live in the real world, you know. And they live in a world where they somehow believe that thousands of millions of people are going to come to their side, and it's not going to happen. More than half of Americans are center of the road, independent people. Whether they're registered Democrat or Republican or independents, that means they are independents. I've been an independent since 1969, and I'm so glad that I'm an independent. But you know, they did a survey. NBC did a survey about what the center likes, and one of the things they don't like is extreme right wing, and they don't like the extreme left wing either.
Yeah, exactly right.
And they have some views that are libertarian. They have some views that are left wing. But none of them are crazy.
Well, we'll continue with this after we've had a news break here, listeners. And don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM at AM 930. And I'm glad to say that our producer, Annie G. Anderson, is back with us today, looking a little peaked, but he's back.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Still, you have time to call us, 304-399-8255, 1-877-420-85. Gene Dean, Bobby Nelson. Our guest is Dave Payton, well-known columnist, bon vivant around the Tri-State area, and a gentleman farmer that I'm gonna try to get some hints from him later in the show, Gene.
And a 60s-era journalist who liked to stir things up, generally speaking, around here. Do you regret those days, Dave?
Not in the least.
Okay.
I would ask you, but I will not, how you see the local newspapers here since you have retired. Are there any crusaders over there?
Comment. No comment.
I asked somebody about the emerging last week of the Marshall's speech.
There
was no comment from Boz Johnson on that little debacle.
No.
The state of the newspapers generally in the nation is not good. I mean, I think the only hope we've got maybe is the Washington Post right now, because the guy from Amazon put millions of dollars into it. But
well,
you know,
always
I mean,
got USA Today. I love USA Today.
Yeah, they just increased it to $2.
I
usually get a
Gannett. The Gannett stock has dropped precipitously. Fortunately, I got out of Gannett stock before it started dropping, but I wouldn't invest a dollar in Gannett stock.
Well, I'm out of the stock market totally, and have been
good
for several years. I tell you what happened. Just give me a minute here, because when Amazon came to town in 2000, and I was so gung ho about Amazon, and I forget how many shares I bought, but it was a good number at $80 a share. And soon after that, it started going down and down and down to about $30 a share. And I said to Keith, now, when it gets up to 80, we'll sell. You know what it is today?
What?
321.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
So I don't do anything with the stock market anymore. I'm not bright enough to know what's going and what's coming on that.
Well, you know, Dave, I didn't mean to get into this, but it's an interesting topic. Do you really think printed newspapers are going the way of the dinosaurs?
Yeah, I think that basically what's going to happen is that the printed newspapers are going to shrink almost down to nothing. A printed newspaper will be a luxury 10 years from now, because it will be so expensive to get them. But you'll be able to get news online. But even at that, I don't think that the online press does the investigation the way that the old-fashioned newspapers used to do it.
No, not at all. I know we have a call, but I want to slip this in while we're on this topic. I subscribe to the New York Times and the Post, and now when you want to get information like the Wall Street Journal, you have to subscribe before you can print off anything. And I think that's where they're all going.
That's where they're all going.
They're all going online, and the actual printed copy is going to be.
I just don't want to sit in front of my computer screen to read the newspaper in the morning.
Well, I don't like that either, but that's the way it's going, Gene.
Well, we have to keep up subscribing. We can keep it going maybe for the rest of our lifetime, Dave.
A vanishing
perfect example of how newspapers have slipped in their investigative things. When all of this blew up in Mingo County, back in the old days, the Gazette would have jumped on it and known about it 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But it just came out of the blue because nobody is investigating it.
Yeah, anymore. We don't have any investigative reporters, remember Kevin Moran?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Gazette has a couple, but they can't get the lead thing because they have pulled back a little bit.
Well, they have.
They're on to this Attorney General, though.
Yes, they are.
Patrick Morsi. They're really everywhere.
Good for them.
Eric Ayer and some.
Okay, guys, let's go ahead and take this call from Pete. Good. Hello, Pete.
Hello. Good afternoon.
I can't hear.
Wait a minute. Dave's having trouble hearing you. Let's get things fixed up here, Pete, because we want to hear what you have to say. All right. I think we've given Dave a set of headphones with such a long cord to it that who knows where it's gone. But anyway,
he's going to bring a new set in. So let's
Danny
just wait.
Danny G is bringing us a new set of headphones in here, and
he's
putting them in. Okay.
Ted Cruz must be lurking around here somewhere, Gene.
I got it. Okay.
Can you hear now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Pete.
Sorry to keep you waiting there.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
My views on newspapers and journalism in general, but that's not why I called. During the news break, they did a piece on Congresswoman Capito, which is completely disingenuous. She made a statement on statewide radio a couple weeks ago that said she will not take a vote that would result in a shutdown of the government. Yet she continued to side with the position would resolve that.
Pete, can you hold up a minute? We're having a bad connection.
Are you
here
on a cell phone, Pete?
No, me.
Oh.
Where?
How about let's do this, Pete? Would you mind to call us back on the 399-8255 number, and then because we want to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, we had that the other day too. I don't know.
I thought it was a cell phone that would do that.
Anyway, we're trying to get that corrected.
Yeah, we're trying to get it back.
Okay. While we're waiting, well, if he's going to talk about Shelley Moore Capito, I can say that she waited till the 11th hour to announce that she was going to vote to stop the shutdown and all. But all along, she has been voting to shut down the government.
Yeah.
And that will be used against her.
She has a good opponent if she'll get out and campaign. Natalie Tennant.
Oh, Natalie's wonderful. Yeah.
She's got statewide exposure. She's well-liked. Her husband's in public office and has a... But the problem... I told you, I think yesterday, she was at this place Sunday I went to in Charleston, this for children's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie was there taking up tickets for these...
All right.
That was a good way to campaign.
Absolutely.
And but anyway, we better get back. Do we have Pete
let's
now?
See if we can get Pete.
Okay, Pete.
Okay, go ahead, Pete.
I'll try again here.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
Better.
I have some views on the journalism today and newspapers today, but that's not why I called. I called about the, during the news break, it was a piece that was done on Congresswoman Capito. Now, if you'll remember, over the last number of years, when they come down to crucial votes, the Republican whip has held her vote to the last one. If you're familiar with the votes that are taken in Congress, they open up the vote for a period of time, and each congressman reports in their vote, and it could take 10 minutes normally, but it can be held open even longer than that when they're playing around with it. But several times they held her to the very last vote, and if they had enough votes to pass the bill the way they wanted, they would release her to allow her to vote against the bill because they didn't have to have her vote to get that. This time around, she made a statement on statewide radio a couple weeks ago that she would not take a vote that would result in shutting down the government. And yet she continued to vote with a position that would have resulted in the shutting down the government until last night. And then she says, you know, it's a bad position to have put the government, put the country through this for the last couple of weeks. You know, that's just...
And yet she voted to put the...
To do just that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to come back to bite her, I think, in the election next year when she runs for Senate.
Well, I think people need to be made aware of that. And
oh, they will. I'm sure Natalie Tennant will make people aware of it.
The news person, of course, that comes out of the group out of the northern part of the state that operates that news operation, Metro News.
Yeah, they're to the right of they're to the right of Attila the Hun.
Yes, they are.
Hoppy Kirchwell is their lead spear carrier.
Whatsoever on that, after they had the audio themselves on their own program.
Yeah.
How do you think she finagled getting to be the last one to vote? I mean,
she's risen into a position of leadership, and that's done for other people also when they get to a, you know, they have each side has their whips, which. Mm-hmm. Are basically the nose counters, and they've got a pretty good idea of how many votes they have before they go to a vote, but they don't know that absolute. When you're dealing with 535 people, you don't know exactly what somebody might do.
She's proven that she'll kowtow to the leadership over there, and basically they trusted her, and she availed herself of that possibility so that she gets more power. She's got, for her short time there, she's gotten a lot of power.
Do you think that Daddy Moore gives her a lot of advice from the background?
In years past, but I think they're past that stage now.
Maybe not money on receiving illegal money.
Both of their parents, her parents are, getting up in age.
When she first ran for office, I think he probably told her how to get the Democrat vote. Because she had to get quite a bit of the Democrat vote, like Arch did.
Well, you know where she'll get it. From the Manchin crowd. Mm-hmm. They've been together for years. Joe Manchin, Arch Moore, and former A. James were big buddies up at WBO.
Well, they were, absolutely.
And Joe Manchin is not going to go out of his way to help Shelley Moore, to help Natalie Tennant. You can count them.
That's a shame, yeah.
It's just one of those family things. And also, Joe is much more to the right than Natalie would ever be.
Oh, absolutely.
So he doesn't need they're up there, which makes his vote sometimes.
He's what they call a Dino, a Democrat in name only.
Yeah.
Well, not only did this result in this government shutdown and people being out of work, and there's various numbers out there, but it's cost this country
billions
of dollars. It's cost the overall economy even more than that, but it's put our name and our reputation worldwide into jeopardy. And early on, the Chinese were out there asking the question, should the dollar be the currency of exchange for the world? You know, they want to put their
they would like to have theirs
in that
right.
position.
Mm-hmm. What is the Chinese
irresponsible?
What is the Chinese currency? Is that the yen or is that Japanese?
They pronounce it differently now, but it's the yen.
Okay.
That's the you asked me too fast. It's not the yen. That's the Japanese.
Japanese. Okay.
That's true.
The yuan.
The yuan. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Hey Pete, before you go, and you're right on point. You're making some good points. What do you think of these 124 Republicans who voted?
144.
To go into default.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 144 Republicans in total, counting the 18 in the Senate.
Yeah.
That voted to go into default.
Yeah.
That's treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person in this country, from president all the way down to city council person, takes an oath of office. They swear to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. And the primary responsibility of defending the Constitution of the United States, you know, we have a representative form of government. We don't, as citizens, vote on all these bills and whatnot, or even on ordinances in a city. We elect people to represent us, and when they fail to do that in a fashion that prevents the government from shutting down, that's actually treasonous.
Well, it could very well be because, you know, if you look at Amendment 14 and read it, the second or third provision of it. It says that, you know, it says we can't do this. It says, you know, the last, you cannot actually go into default. And I'm surprised that somebody didn't take it to the Supreme Court. And maybe they would have if we had gone into default.
Well, you know, this country would be in much better shape if the Supreme Court had fully incorporated the 14th Amendment across the whole Constitution, which they haven't done. You know, you have the Constitution, and you have laws that are passed pursuant to the Constitution. Then you have case law. And case law is very heavily worked by the various interests across the country to build up, and it's even different in different parts of the country where you have different federal court jurisdictions. And once, you know, they try to work it up all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, you know, the Constitution means what it says, but the Supreme Court tells us what they think it says until that's changed.
I hate to interrupt you, but I've got to go to a break. But if you can stay with us, I do have a question for you. Can you stay with us for a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Okay. All right. This is Tri-State Viewpoint with Dave Payton, Bobby Nelson, and Gene Dean, and our guest Pete on the line. We'll just take a couple of minutes for some commercials here on Supertalk 94.1 FM at AM 930, and then we'll be right back with you.
Now, back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
And Pete was kind enough to stay with us through the break, and that I have this question for you, Pete. I guess I want you to make a prediction. We've got 3 months to resolve this budget issue, and a little over 3 months, about 3 months and 3 weeks, before the debt ceiling comes up again. What do you think is going to happen? Are we going to get into another boondoggle like we have with this one?
Well, I'm afraid so, because we just... The economic things that I was talking about, the country losing at least $24 billion directly as a result of Citizen Boehner deciding that he wants to stay Speaker of the House, because they just demonstrated that the votes were there to pass the original clean bill.
Yeah.
And that's all they had to do. He kept insisting that I have to have the majority of the majority and not count the total of the 435 votes that are there. We're just going to count a certain amount of them, and if I don't have them from my side, I'm not even going to put it up for a vote. And that's what he did.
Well, I hope he learned his lesson. And you keep listening, Pete, because in 3 months' time, we want to see what happens. Okay?
Thank you, Pete.
Okay.
Well, we have
Thank
some
you,
time.
Pete.
We have a few minutes. I want to read something, Dave, and I want you to tell me who it is.
Okay.
This person said, the highest priority of my administration is restoring the integrity of the Social Security system. Those 35 million Americans who depend on Social Security expect and are entitled to prompt bipartisan action to resolve the current financial problem. At the same time, I deplore the opportunistic political maneuvering cynically designed to play on the fears of many Americans that some in Congress are initiating at this time. These efforts are designed to exploit an issue rather than find a solution. It goes on and on. Who said that?
It's either Dwight Eisenhower or George Bush.
Roosevelt.
That was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Who was initially against, the Republicans right. are using this to go back to Ronald Reagan, our leader. And he was he defended Social Security and actually had a hand in extending the disability part of it. So that,
yeah.
Ronald Reagan emerged as a defender of, but you have the Ted Cruz quoting him as the guy that said, well, we're going to go to socialism and communism and all
oh
that
my.
Stuff. But I saw that.
That's
I,
a good
I
question.
Give that to,
that's a good question.
I want to give that to Joe,
he was I guess actually when I said FDR, I mean that wouldn't have been right about the number in Social Security back then, would it?
Well, no, probably not.
Because he was in there till 45, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, wouldn't have had that many. He was
yeah,
in the 40s.
Have,
Reagan,
right.
But this was in the,
well,
the 80s.
Well, they kicked and complained almost as badly when he instituted Social Security years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they said it'd never last.
Yeah. And Medicare, too.
It will bring this country down. Medicare will bring it down. Medicaid will bring it down. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't done that, has it?
No, and I think the Affordable Care Act, which is in the long run going to be a kind of a landmark like Social Security, but the problem is it does have problems, just like Social Security
does.
Had. But you got to work them out.
Social
you can't
Security,
throw the bait, as you
Social
said, don't
Security
throw the baby
problems.
Out with the bathwater.
Exactly.
Social Security had problems at the beginning,
exactly.
And they all have problems because basically you're dealing with a bureaucracy, and bureaucracies
and
never work perfectly.
Well, the other thing that under the Affordable Care Act, guess what state benefits the most from it?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Tell Shelley Moore Capito to tell David McKinley that. I mean, it boggles the mind that these people see the what's out there for the West Virginians or the country, mm-hmm. and yet they just march lockstep with the leadership.
5 years mm-hmm. from now, 10 years from now, these people will be saying, "I was for this. Exactly. I was for this stuff all along." They won't be calling it Obamacare then. Yeah. They'll say, "Well, I was for affordable."
But that, all over the country, people are signing up. I mean, you know, there's a log jam on the website, but that, once
by
they
million.
Get through,
yes. it's mm-hmm. going to work out.
I think what's going to happen. What is the deadline? March 31st.
Yeah, that's just this deadline. For benefits to start in January.
I think they'll put off the deadline for signing up until probably July.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
it's going to continue the sign up. It just delays when it starts.
Sure.
Like if you sign up by the end of this year, or you get mm-hmm. your benefits start in January. But
right.
if you wait later, they start later. But, mm-hmm. but you have a continual enrollment period on mm-hmm. this. But mm-hmm. it's going to take some working out, some tweaking and that. But, you know, when an opportunity for 40 million of Americans who don't have health insurance have an opportunity to do
it's
it.
Wonderful.
Why would you be against it?
Well, exactly.
The only thing I would like to see better would be a single-payer system, but I guess that's not going to happen that'll happen eventually, but not right now.
Well, if we hadn't gotten that in the first place, we wouldn't be in this situation. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
And this might be a good time to tell listeners that one day next week that we will have an insurance man from Ashland, Tom Delegatti, who really knows what the effect is going to be on both employees mm-hmm. and employers. So be sure and listen every day, listeners, because we want you to hear what he has to say. There's no doubt that it needs to be tweaked. It could have been much more simple in the first place, but it isn't, so now we've got to set it straight.
I have to admit, they've had 3 years to put it in place. Now, that was long enough to get up a good mm-hmm. system, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-mm.
They need to do it immediately.
Well, the administration kind of downplayed, said, well, you know, they said the number of people they estimated that might enroll and all, they gave it kind of a low number just to be on the safe side, but it isn't even approaching that. And my guess is when we come back from the House, the Congress is going to take a little break now. When they come back, they're going to get right back.
Yeah,
they've worked so hard.
Did you see what happened last night? The stenographer and
yes,
after the vote was taken, went up on the podium and it really started spouting
the microphone.
Yeah, and said, "There's one nation can't be divided. There's one God."
Yeah, she wasn't making much sense.
She was taken to a local hospital.
They put her in a mental institution.
Yeah. Well, it makes you wonder how she got to be employed as a stenographer in the House.
Well, you know,
anyway.
Well, a number of her colleagues said she's a very fine person, easy to work with and all, but I guess this just finally, because she's very religious, and she said the nation is divided,
and
you're defying God and all this.
Maybe she didn't take her pills that day.
Yeah.
We know some people like that, don't we?
Hey,
oh, goodness. We're almost on the top of the hour.
Yeah, I was going to ask Dave about my lawn, but we're running out of time. But he gave me some off-the-air advice. But
you'll have to do that on your own time, Bobby.
tell your dog to use a urinal and you'll be all right.
That's why my grass is turning brown.
Bobby's got little brown patches on his lawn.
I'm going to speak to Lucky. I'm going to be a stern parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, listeners, so we hope that you've enjoyed our conversation today and that you'll be back with us tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow we will have Dr. Mary Beth Bella as our guest, and also toward the end of the show we'll tell you what's coming up for the weekend's entertainment. So please join us here on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. You've been listening to Tri-State Viewpoint. Our guest today has been Dave Payton and Bobby Nelson and I, Gene Dean. We are always glad to be here on the air with you, and we will be back with you tomorrow. We're glad to see our regular producer, Ernie G. Anderson, sitting there. He looks like he's taken some medicine for that cold and he's about to fall asleep, but you made it through the show, Ernie. Thank you. We hope you'll feel better tomorrow. And again, please join us tomorrow on the Tri-State Viewpoint. Thanks so much for listening today. Ta-ta for now.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, mornings 6 to 10 on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRBC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.